Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. If you're in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Whether you work for government or industry, we're here to help you understand how the other side thinks. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition Solutions. If you need help with the government market, Skyway's team of former contracting officers is here to help. To learn more, visit skywayacquisition.com. Today's topic is proposal submission. It seems pretty simple. You write a proposal, you submit it, the government evaluates it. But what happens if a proposal isn't submitted on time or needs to be revised? Lucky for us, there's a whole section of the FAR that talks just about that. So here we go with our conversation on the proposal submission and receipt process. Where are we in the process then?
Well, the government has defined the requirement. They released the RFP. The industry has digested the RFP and responded to it. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into actually submitting a proposal. So time has run out now. It's time to submit it. You put it in the mail or you hit send on an email, and then what happens? What happens in that moment? So this podcast is really talking about in that one moment when those proposals are due, what happens?
And surprisingly enough, there's a paragraph in the FAR with many, many sub-bullets, letters underneath it, that just talks about submitting a proposal, what happens when you submit it, and what happens if it's late. So now that I already jumped into FAR time, it's FAR 15208. It's called Submission, Modifications, Revisions, and Withdrawal of Proposals. So there's a whole paragraph just talking about something that's like, here it is, we're done. So 15208 says, offers must submit proposals, revisions, mods to proposals. You have to submit those so that they reach the government office designated in the solicitation by the time specified in the solicitation. That seems really easy, right? They tell you in the RFP, send it here by this time. If it doesn't say any time, then the FAR gives you 4:30 p.m. local for the government office on the date that's specified in the RFP. So if they just say it's due on January 23rd, it's due at 4:30, their local time. FAR also says offers may use any transmission method authorized by the solicitation. And so in other words, any transmission method authorized by the solicitation, that's deliver it how they tell you to deliver it. It's weird that they say any. It doesn't need to say any. It should say offers will transmit it according to the solicitation. It's funny to me. It says regular mail, electronic commerce, or facsimile.
Could you imagine faxing a proposal now? I mean, it's like 100 pages, and oh, we ran out of ink, and oh, the paper jam, they're going to protest.
I suppose back in the day, if it was a simple quote kind of proposal that, you know, faxing in a couple pages wasn't a big deal, but I've always dealt with really big proposals that the whole idea, even back when do people still have faxes in their offices?
We don't have a fax number.
Okay, continuing down the FAR 15208 path here, there are a whole bunch of caveats about what late means. And so first it defines late. Any proposal, revision, or mod after the exact time that the proposal is due, it's late, and it will not be considered unless, there's always unlesses.
Yep, those are the caveats.
Will not be considered unless there's a couple requirements. It has to be received by the government before the award is made. The CO has to determine that in accepting this late proposal, it's not going to unduly delay, I'm air quoting, unduly delay the acquisition. So if your proposal is delivered late, the FAR says it will not be considered unless it's received before award is made. If they've already announced a winner, they're not going to say, oh yeah, wait a second, we've changed our mind, we're going to evaluate one more proposal.
That would be really awkward.
Right. So it's got to be there before the award is made. But the CO also has to determine that accepting that the late proposal isn't going to unduly delay the acquisition, otherwise, you know, stretch things out. But also, one of three truths has to exist besides just the fact that it's not going to delay the whole acquisition. First one is, so if it was emailed, it has to be received at the initial point of entry to the government infrastructure, which means they'll be able to track down that your email arrived at some into their email system by 5 p.m. one working day prior to the date specified in the RFP, which is weird. It's
so what that means is that if it's a 30-day cycle to submit your proposal, that just took a day away from you. So don't find this out after you emailed it the morning of and went, oh crap, the server crashed, yeah, or you're whatever.
29 days.
Yeah, just like that, you lost 3% of your proposal effort. Surprise!
The second condition that could allow the government to accept your late proposal is if there's acceptable evidence that it was actually received by the government and under their control, that's another quote thing, prior to the due date and time in the RFP.
So in other words, you shipped it by paper and it was accepted by some person at the gate and it just hasn't worked its way to the contracting officer. And so proving evidence of that and getting – and that's why a lot of times you'll get us the old days, the, well, you know, like 10 years ago, you would actually date stamp the proposal when it came in because that was your evidence that, okay, I've handed this over to you. It is under the government's control.
Yeah, we always do delivery receipts. I mean, I send a piece of paper with who's ever delivering the proposal if it's not me. And I say, bring this back to me signed. Somebody must sign that they accepted your proposal and make them time and date right there. You know, we put that on the little form. And the last condition that would allow the government to be able to accept a late proposal is if you're the only proposal submitted. I guess they figure at that point, one's better than none. We might as well accept it, even if they're late.
It isn't like anybody's going to protest. So.
So after you submit your proposal, you can submit a modification to your proposal anytime. And that doesn't count as a late proposal as long as your modification makes the terms more favorable to the government. You can't modify your proposal to increase your price.
Well, you can. They just probably aren't going to accept it. It's not going to do you any favors.
But if you lower your price, the government can accept that at any time before award is made. Okay.
Although I have to caveat that with, you know, don't wait too long, because if I had this happen once where we finished the evaluation and 2 days before we were planning on awarding, somebody said, hey, we'll also throw in this feature. And I'm like, oh, great. So that's nice and all, but now we have to go back and restructure our whole decision. So, yeah, there's a caveat to that. Don't think you're doing anybody any favors by throwing in a last-minute deal to close the deal, because you may complicate things for everybody without knowing it.
It still surprises me that the FAR has so many specific sentences, paragraphs here, about just submitting proposals. But they're trying to cover all these events so that there's not protests based on proposal submittal time. So,
which tells me that these things have all happened. That's why they're in there.
Yeah, so the next one, this is actually paragraph D if you've got your FAR out. If an emergency or unanticipated event interrupts normal government processes, then the proposal receipt date and time are extended day for day until normal government processes resume. And that's in quotes. So I would not, if you're on the industry side, just take for granted that, oh, it's extended day for day and that you and industry get to decide, you know, what normal government processes resume are. It's a good time to pick up the phone, try to get in touch with people. But here in the DC area, we have a big snowstorm every couple years. We get a couple feet of snow. And this year it just happened to happen on a day when proposals were due at 10 a.m. And we had proposal team trying to figure out if they could dig out and, you know, what kind of Hummer, no.
Breaking out the dog sled. And on the government side, keep in mind that just because your office is closed for the day, if it happens to be a proposal that's due, if there's a way that you can put up a smoke puff and tell everybody, by the way, it's due tomorrow because we're closed for the day, that's the kind of stuff that keeps people from freaking out. Because on their side, the FAR says that they get a day for day, but they're not willing to bet their jobs on it.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels.
It's seriously, I mean.
Yeah. People, it's very stressful.
People are literally trying to figure out if they got to call in the National Guard themselves to get their proposal in.
Yeah, we laugh about it, but that's a significant emotional event that's easily fixed by just good old-fashioned communication.
This part of the FAR also says that you can withdraw your proposal at any time up until award. You can't withdraw it after they award, but why would you ever withdraw a proposal?
Well, if conditions change, if you just won something else and now you realize, I may not be able to do both of these well and I think that I could win this thing, you find out something in there is wrong enough that you can get in deep kimchi for it.
Right.
I can think of 100 reasons.
That makes total sense.
And by the way, this is a great little caveat to this is why it's so important to be in your weight class, is that you're able to pull that proposal out without going out of business. Go listen to some of the other content we have about the importance of being in your weight class. And this is another one of those moments, is if you find out something and go, I wish we hadn't submitted that because it's created this problem, you have the right to withdraw it. but not if it's going to put you out of business. Then so you're building risk into your company by having to leave these things in there if you don't know this.
So a couple other quick paragraphs from the FAR. If you're late, the CO has to promptly tell you whether or not they're going to consider your proposal. The answer is probably going to be no, they aren't going to consider your proposal, but they got to tell you fast. If your proposal is late, the government has to actually keep the boxes or email files unopened until after they've awarded the contract to whoever won the thing. So it's not that they look at your proposal and then decide whether or not they're going to consider it. Government doesn't even get to look at it. To know. It's just late. It's congratulations. You just wasted all your time preparing it because they don't even look at it. And the last paragraph of this part of the FAR, of course, talks about files.
Because the contracting officer has to actually document this. And things like the date and the hour of the receipt, a statement regarding whether the proposal was considered for award with some supplementing rationale of why they accepted it or not. And of course, it actually says the envelope, wrapper, or other evidence of date of receipt. So you have all these paperwork. And here's the part that I want to bring up in here. This is all for a proposal that won't even be reviewed. This is a time vampire for the government team because they're looking at it. And by the way, I'm not shadowing over the fact that the company's even more screwed because they submitted a proposal that's not going to be evaluated. So both sides come out just doing you're shuffling deck chairs. So let's not have this happen is kind of the goal here.
Okay, I want to jump back to the proposal withdrawal thing real quick just because it's funny. You can submit written notice that at any time before award that you're going to withdraw your proposal. And FAR gets into documentation of what happens if proposals are withdrawn. And it says extra copies have to be destroyed or returned at the offeror's request. And it continues, where practicable, electronically transmitted proposals must be purged from the primary and backup data storage systems after a copy is made for the file.
You hear me smiling because what I'm thinking is like, okay, we're going to take the original, or we're going to make three copies, and then we're going to throw away the original. And the next week, we're going to throw away the copies, but we're going to keep a backup. So think you're like a brand new government contracting person and you're trying to comply. You're trying to do the right thing. And
So I purge the electronic, I delete the file from the primary and the backup, but I have to make a copy first. Do I have to print it out and make a paper copy? Or do I make a copy of the email that came in and then delete the
and then here's my favorite part. The next paragraph says extremely bulky proposals must only be returned at the offeror's request and expense.
So if you got 14 boxes of proposal and you say, hey, send it back, the government might say, nah.
Yeah, we're not doing that. And if we do, we're sending you a bill for FedEx.
Come pick it up.
Come get it. Come back and get it.
Let's talk about why this is important. It's pretty obvious this is important, right? You spend a lot of time writing a proposal, and it doesn't count if you don't get it submitted on time.
And my big thing here is that both sides crave context, is they don't know really what each other is going through. I mean, this is a hypercritical moment for the person submitting the proposal and the person trying to accept it. I mean, it's the whole, every second counts, right? We need to be proactive making sure we're meeting this because at the end, late proposals suck for both sides. We just talked about why that is. I mean, so no one means to submit a late proposal and no one wants to receive late proposals, but they happen. So that's why we're talking about this. And let's make sure we know what to do with them when it happens.
So on the government side, we've talked before about getting proposals, having to evaluate proposals that aren't likely to win. It's annoying to the government. People bid that didn't have any business bidding, but you still have to go through the whole process. But getting late proposals that you now have you can't even review it. It has no chance for award, but you still have to do administrative work on it. That's a real pain.
Yeah, it's a time vampire. It's one of the things that slows everybody down.
So government side, make it easy for people to submit their proposals on time.
And assume they're going to work up to the last minute. I mean, there's a saying in the proposal world that proposals are never done. We just run out of time. So they're always going to take the last minute. So make the process for them to submit at the last minute easy as you can.
And government people got to understand that industry people never want to submit them late, but based on the RFP instructions, sometimes it's really hard. If there's a lot of hard copy volumes due and they have to travel or mail them,
ship them.
No one likes to mail them. You got to understand that on the industry side, we want to hand deliver stuff and local is good. So we've shipped the proposal team to the local area where it's due and printed and done all the binding and production there. We've shipped the proposal and a backup copy to people that we trust to hand deliver them then. If we're driving down the road, it's possible that companies will have two different cars, each with a copy of the proposal, going different routes in case one of them gets in a wreck or gets caught in traffic. Because even a fender bender that you can't leave the scene could make you late to deliver the proposal. And if there's a lot of money riding on it, you know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
They can't happen with proposal submittal.
It sounds like we're kind of making light of this, but in reality, even if it's only like a $2 million proposal for a small business, I mean, those are people's jobs. You know, if you come back from dropping off the proposal and say, I got in a car accident, I couldn't submit it, people could lose their livelihood over it. You kind of think, wow, it sounds kind of silly to have two different cars going two different routes, but this is how people eat, whether or not they win this work. And now, granted, they may or may not win it after the proposal is submitted, but they're definitely not going to win it if the proposal didn't even get there. So it's a big deal. There are lots of excuses that can get in the way.
And this is yet another reason to use electronic submittal when you can.
So if you ever see a white-knuckled driver in the D.C. area, imagine he's submitting a proposal. That's why they're driving like a maniac.
And I love when you can always tell a boilerplate RFP when it's electronic submittal is the way you do it, and they tell you to submit two copies.
It's like, you know what?
Do I send the same email twice? Do I attach these two of each of the files to the email? You know, it's just somebody that didn't read the boilerplate. It's funny. On the industry side, why does industry care so much about proposal submittal day? It's because if you're late, you've just completely wasted all that bid and proposal effort. All the time, all the money that you spent doing it is gone. Your probability of winning is now zero, despite all the work that you've put in.
And on the industry side, understand that this is a stressful moment for the government too, because they're sitting there thinking, well, am I going to get three proposals? Am I going to get 30 proposals? Am I going to have somebody email me and say, hey, I can't get through the gate? You know, all of those things. It was a stressful day for me when all the proposals were coming in, because in theory, the system that I set up was very easy and everything was just going to show up and it was going to flow. But Murphy's Law shows up here. So understand on the industry side, understand that they're not back there sitting going, oh yeah, this is going to be a cakewalk. They may be stressing too. And so their reaction to you may be different than you think when certain things happen.
All kinds of crazy stuff can happen on proposal submittal day. And lots of times the RFP drives how difficult it can be to submit. Like you used to do stuff where there are actual product samples required, right?
Yeah, we had one that the product sample was being delivered to a vehicle. It was a sample vehicle, and it needed to fit in a certain aircraft.
Other vehicle.
Yeah, other vehicles, say it that way. And so rather than trust them and say, oh, well, you got to reconfigure it, you got to do this, you got to do that, we said, you got to prove to us that it will fit in this space. So they had to show up with their vehicle to make sure that, and then show to us that it would actually work. So they're at the gate, and they're a small company, and they've never actually been on this base before because they're not from this state. And they drove up with a trailer. It was a small, and that's not bad. That's normal. It's just they weren't prepared for all 15 contingencies that were going to happen. They only prepared for 14, and the 15th one was, well, you can't get in the gate if you haven't called us the day before, and they didn't call the day before. So I'm standing there looking at them, going, "Okay, they're so going to protest." So I'm just going to extend the RFP for 4 hours and figure this out. And make sure so it's risk management. And so that kind of stuff, because we couldn't do electronic submittal. We had a product sample. And if you didn't pass the product sample, then we weren't even going to look at your proposal. So it was worth the time to make sure that this whole thing played out.
That's funny. And that's why, you think electronic submission cures all ills, because then you don't run into the people sending two different copies of the proposals in two different cars on two different routes. You don't run into people that don't have the access to get into the facility to deliver the proposal. But electronic submittal can come with its own headaches, right?
I've got a story for that too. So we had one that was probably 90-page proposal, lots of different pieces. And I said, you know what, let's just send this via email. Normally this is one we get by paper, but we're going to try it email. And I was very clear with everybody in the RFP and the overall team, said this is going to be a lot of emails, but it's still going to be easier than managing the paper. Well, long story short, it took the contract specialist about 2 or 3 days to make sure that she had gotten confirmation emails that, hey, these are the 15 files we got. Let's make sure we got all the different pieces. It was a lot of work to fine tune it, but everyone had at least their first email come in by the due date. and we worked with them because we were changing the model from we used to accept this and it was for a product we had bought before. We used to accept it by paper. Now we're taking electronic. So it wasn't easy, but I still swear it was easier than getting paper.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of agencies and offices have gone to a portal kind of thing.
Yeah,
for
we
submission
weren't that fancy.
Where you upload your files to a portal that tracks when they were delivered and all that.
That's the genius move.
Well, it can be, except that usually what happens is every contractor, because you work until you run out of time, not until your proposal is done. Every contractor is hitting the portal at the time, same time trying to upload, and it's all locked up. And talk about a stressful time when you're hitting refresh or you're hitting upload and it's spinning and you're going, ah! One time I remember sitting there with the proposal manager right next to me and I'm uploading. It has to be done by 5 o'clock and we think we have 7 minutes left. We got 4 more files to upload and it's all crazy. And we notice that the portal has its own clock that is 4 minutes fast.
Oh,
so we actually have 3 minutes according to the portal. And, you know, I'm actually checking real time, Greenwich Mean Time to see, to make sure we're ticking. Hey, their clock's wrong, but I don't think they're going to care.
I'm going to protest your clock is off by 4 minutes. We've had 30 days. We laugh about that, but it's like 30 days of proposal times come down to 4 minutes. With one of our clients, we made it by 3 minutes. And that's a legendary story now. We're like, yeah, this is why we don't push the limit of proposal time because we don't need that kind of stress in our lives.
Yeah, that's a great way to summarize what we're talking about here. It's a whole section of the FAR because this stuff can be very stressful for both sides. And you got to have a rule set for what happens if it's late. Lots of things go wrong. So both sides need to understand how to prepare for it and how to deal with it if something does go wrong.
And we were like the idea of some of this came from we were doing a Skyway community webinar about proposal management. And the question from one of the webinar attendees said, well, why do you get last minute amendments? And of course, I told that story of me having to get an extension for 4 hours to make sure this company came in because I was doing a risk management exercise of, okay, I don't want them to protest. That's the kind of things that can happen. And again, this is stressful for both sides. That gives you a feel of what's happening.
Right. And try not to, if you're the government, pay attention. If you work on a base that does like safety exercises or something, try not to make your proposal due date a day that they're going to close down the base or have other things going on that make it impossible for contractors to get to you to deliver.
Yeah, like this is the day that construction starts on the main gate. Well, of course, whoops, you had no idea that was going to happen because it's not your office.
Right.
That stuff
happens. If you're not on the base, you know, if you're in an office complex somewhere in you know, the commercial world, make sure there's not like a marathon that day that's shut down all the roads around you to make, pay attention to these things.
Yeah.
If you're on the industry side, you got to plan backwards from that due date. And if you can, it'd be awesome to submit the day before or 2 days before. I mean, seriously, it's hard to do that because again, we work until the time runs out, not until the proposal is done. But if you can get it in early, you should. We actually have electronic submittal coming up that we know there's lots of files, and we are planning. It's due on a Tuesday. We're planning to have it in by Friday night to make sure that we have all weekend to deal with any disasters, catastrophes that could happen. And unfortunately, we posted the truth about the due date to the proposal team. My plan was just to tell them it was due on Friday so they would work towards that date. But still, I think we will get it in a day or two early.
That's a whole other topic of, you know, everybody works to the last minute. So anyway, what is that? McPherson principle is the work expands to the time allowed.
Yeah.
So there are a few workarounds to late submittals, but the message from the podcast today is, you know, don't count on them.
Yeah.
Plan accordingly.
Okay. Before we wrap it up, we want to say thanks to a couple of people for reaching out to us and telling us what they like, what we're doing well, and being brutal about what they think we can improve.
This week, I want to thank Wendy Freeman for posting one of our podcasts on the APMP, the Association for Proposal Management Professionals group on LinkedIn. Wendy's been a big fan of the podcast. She's also a community member. So thanks for helping us get this content to more people who need it.
Okay, that's it for this week's episode of the Contracting Officer Podcast. If you have questions, comments, complaints, or an idea for a topic, send me a note at paul@contractingofficerpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us.